see that Dutch Harbor was actually going out of business, when in fact in 1910 they were completely out of business. Just watchmen there. Of course, there's people. Schroeder was the last agent, I think, for Dutch Harbor, I believe. And then these guys that I mentioned from the islands.
Oh yeah,
Proctor and they were living there then.
Redpath
and Alice and Proctor.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know who they were, but they were there. They lived in the big house, but the store, everything was, well, it was on its last legs for business. Then, let's see, I guess they were still doing business a little bit there, but, you know, the business had died, their business had died out.
Yeah.
And the only coal business then was Coast Guard, and they all done their coal here.
Down at the city dock, or I mean at the Unalaska dock.
Yeah, that's the only house they moved up. All the rest of them, the Coast Guard then took them buildings and stuck them together and made their home base there.
Oh yeah?
You can still see where it was, you know, just below the company house. Right in that area.
Okay, in that flat area there?
You can still see the outline. I think they moved three buildings. Together, and that was, they had the dentist in there, and the commandant's office was there. The commandant's office was ex bar room. And well, the office was where that plaque is. You know where that.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I'll click this off.
Yeah, that was a good solid bridge there.
The one farther down?
This one, yeah.
I
think it took some heavy stuff. Oh yeah, this one up here, this, I guess nobody but me knows that was the water. It's underground. You can still see the place where it was.
Yeah? Is it right at the corner where the road? No.
No, it's straight up the hill from just below the church.
Okay.
And pretty well toward the top.
Yeah. Oh. Pretty well toward the top, above the road that's on
way
up stack then.
Yeah, way above the road, close to the top. It was a big tank, and then you can still see the where it is. It's probably all covered. I know we used to, there was a square hole in it. You know, as a kid, we used to go in there and look. It was not in use anymore, but because the AC company had where's that picture? Oh, that's just a tree. Yeah, they had their
reservoir.
Those two big wooden tanks.
Oh, okay. I
right across the mouth of the creek.
So you used to just play in that big, that other one, huh?
No, we never. We used to look in
it. Oh, look in it.
Yeah.
It was still full of water, I suppose. Or
there was some water
some
in
water.
Though I think, no, I think it was empty.
Hmm.
Yeah. We never went in it.
Uh-huh.
But there was a hatch on top.
Hmm.
And of course the whole top was covered with sod. That might have been a Russian tank.
Might have been,
You know, there's spring up there. You know, that's springs. Old man Queen had his own private tank just about where the road is now. That's, he had the store, let's see, well, it was on Russian property there. on church property. Well, it was later, Alaska Salmon, when Jack Martin came up.
Okay, I think I have an idea as to where it is.
Well, it's, well, just below the bishop's house.
Yeah, there's a cement foundation down in there now.
Oh, no, that was a gun position.
Hmm.
Right, where the Russian school used to be. Yeah, it's a gun position, cement front on it, and it was wood and mud, the rest of it, that caved in.
Oh.
So it was right there, though, in that area. And he had his private water. He had a tank across the creek up the hill, just below where the road is now.
But that would have been like in the 1920s.
Yeah, and it water ran in at the springs up in that area, and he'd catch the water. Then Shiznikovs had their running water right across the creek. You can still see that box like
there.
Yeah. They didn't have much pressure, but they had running water from the spring. And those two houses there, Shiznikov house, they had running water from across the creek. And it was nice running water from a spring with not much, couldn't been much pressure.
Was the Glory of the Seas at all like the Star of Falkland?
Yeah, it was a three-masted, full-rigged ship. I think she finished her days in Ketchikan, you know, as an oil barge or something, with a mast on.
Yeah.
Or maybe they towed it to, let's see, did they burn her in Seattle?
I don't know.
She was quite a famous ship, you know, in her day.
Hmm.
All over the world.
Did those ships have a bell or a horn or some way they signaled when they were coming into the harbor here?
Well, they had fog horns that you cranked.
Yeah.
With a... Yeah, we had one of them on this schooner there when we went sea otter hunting. The box about that long and that wide and that high with a crank on the side. And they really put out too. Yeah, I guess in this picture you could see my grandfather's house pretty good, right there. Just this side of the big white building.
Now, was he there in 1910 when you went down
to
Chihuahua?
He was there way before 1910. That's the only place I knew where he was.
Oh.
Well, he died in 1910.
Oh, he did?
Or 1909. But he'd been there a long time. Then a lot of different people owned the house, or the AC was the last one, I guess. Yeah, that was, let's see. Yeah, he had a high board fence.
Around his house?
The back toward the creek.
Were a lot of houses fenced?
Well, he had the high board fence, and there was just little land, just enough to walk by on the outside of the fence. Well, he had some chickens in there, and and from his house to the bishop's house, that was all buildings in there too.
Was there a steam bath connected with the bishop's house, or with the Russian school?
They had steam bath down by the creek, where the road is now. Right down there, they had a big steam bath. Later on, they used it for a warehouse.
Now, back in the time when the glory of the seas came into Unalaska, I'm wondering, I know they had a laundry down there at one time.
Yeah.
Like, would the crew off a vessel like that have their laundry and stuff done by the AC company?
Or well, I suppose they did, yeah. Because that was a big laundry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, steam, they had a steam boiler in the back, and two gigantic tubs in there.
Yeah.
It all run from belts, everything in there. It had a steam engine, and there were shafts all through the ceiling with clutches, and when you wanted to start a machine, you threw the clutch in. And a big mangle that took whole sheets flat for ironing. And a dryer. They had a dryer in there too, a little room where they could hang, you know, pull racks out and push them in. And three bathrooms with tubs in.
Yeah. That was probably a pretty welcome.
Yeah. Treat. Well, they had the big sign on the roof. I guess I've seen pictures, white paint.
Mm-hmm.
Steam laundry and baths.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you could see that from way out there.
Yeah, so the ships coming in knew it was
Oh, gee, we haven't had a bath for a month. We'll go up there and have a bath.
Yeah.
They probably done a lot of laundry for the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah.
And for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But gee, that was a big laundry too, for a little place that probably... They probably done a lot of laundry for gnome boats, too. See, they used to come up here and early. All kind of vessels. The bay would be full of them. Little schooners and what all. Waiting for the ice to go out so they could dash into Nome.
Yeah.
That's how Levine got here.
Heading to Nome and...
Yeah, him and I don't know, some others, they had a schooner and two-masted. And somebody told them that that too was full of gold. They just shoveled it up. There was no mud mixed with the gold. It was pure gold. And so they went out there, and that's where Levine got a wife then. I think that's I wonder if that was a schooner that... I know there was one here when I was a kid called the J.B. Ward. Maybe it was A.C. Company vessel. It was a two-masted schooner and it used to... well, everybody was happy when... the kids from the J.B. Ward come sailing in. I think that one got wrecked in Ninganoota Bay on Umneck.
Oh, yeah?
The J.B. Ward.
Did the A.C. Company have any vessels that went out hunting themselves, or did they just buy furs from other people? I know the last sea otter hunt you mentioned that there was a vessel owned or operated by Schroeder, owned by Schroeder.
Yeah.
And then there was one owned by Applegate.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if the AC company as a company, had a vessel that went
did.
Out hunting.
Before, not then, but probably the 1800s.
Yeah.
Because there's record of them.
Well, I know they would take a lot of hunters, you know, like a Sanac,
yeah.
and places
mm-hmm.
on a vessel.
Yeah. I don't think they had any vessel, though, that they transported
mm-hmm.
hunters, but I don't think they hunted from the vessels.
Oh, okay.
See, like old man Dirks, he used his schooner to, of course, he stayed in that two winter times,
mm-hmm.
and he transported his hunters from that to Amchitkin, you know, through there.
Mm-hmm. Did crews off of boats like the Glory of the Seas have baseball teams, or I know like the Coast Guard and different groups used to have
mm-hmm.
some kind of recreation in town, or
no.
rifle practice or something like
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, well they had rifle range across the creek.
When you were a boy, or was that later?
Let's see, well they had it in the 20s.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I don't think when I was a boy, but in the 20s they had it. They shot against Haystack Hill.
Oh, okay.
And they had three targets there. Mm-hmm. Well, they had the big bank there, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and they had 100-yard, 200, and 300-yard
mm-hmm.
range. Then, I don't know, then they had it from way back, all the way back to the lake. That was probably 500.
Yeah.
But they had 100, 200, that was marked, you know, that
mm-hmm.
was shooting positions, 200 and 300.
Mm.
Well, we used to use it, because the Coast Guard wasn't using it anymore. That's, let's see, during the 30s. Dr. White was, he was kind of a rifleman.
Hmm.
He used to organize shooting matches over there.
Yeah.
I went over there one time with an old Sharps rifle, single shot.
Yeah.
It was a funny caliber. I went, the AC company had upstairs in one of their warehouses full of old guns and things.
Hmm.
Down there where they had their bunch of warehouses. And I went up there and tried, they had a lot of ammunition, old black powder ammunition.
Hmm.
And I tried and different ones, and I finally found ammunition that fit this gun.
Ah.
It was a caliber I never heard of before, 40-65.
Hmm.
It was a 40 caliber bullet, and the other number was 65, and they fitted.
Hmm.
And I went over there and I shot against the nice modern rifles, and I won.
Oh, yeah?
With old Sharps.
Ah.
It was a good gun that had peep sights on and
mm-hmm.
and two triggers.
Hmm.
You know, a set trigger,
mm-hmm.
like if you wanted to have a real fine touch, you pull this one trigger, and then all you did was touch the other one, and it went.
It went off.
Yeah.
Wow. I think the kids are going to be coming in. I'm going to stop
mm-hmm.
this one here.
You gonna write things? No.
Are we going to write things? No, I don't think
What's
so.
What?
Well, the two titles we were working on, Kelly's not here yet. come on in, Darcy. Yeah, Darcy and Cheryl, come on in the room, please. Leave the door open. Yeah, you'll have to just come in here. I don't want you back to the room. Leave the door open, please.
No one?
Yeah.
What is? What
are you doing? Well, you move, Darcy.
No, I told you to sit there.
Leave
the door open.
I'll sit right here.
I don't have enough copies, I guess, for everybody. Who's on with
Albert, huh?
Someone. Those are some selected titles for the World War II book.
Is this door supposed to be left open?
Yeah, please. So we can have some air, otherwise it gets a little too close.
I don't know which title or which parts you want. Anybody want to talk in favor of any particular one?
The elusive invasion. The elusive.
Tell them which one.
I like the first one.
What's the elusive invasion?
The Lucent Invasion, World War II, and the Lucent Islands. That sounds good.
What if you knocked out one of the Lucent, either the top or the bottom?
Well, it just sounds better than
World War II
and the Lucent. That doesn't make sense. Invasion. The Lucent Invasion, World War II, and the Lucent Islands. That sounds good.
Why don't you knock out one, the Lucent before Island?
Why? It sounds better if it has the Lucent.
There's so much pollution in it, Bill.
Oh, just two. Wow.
Yeah, but look at you only right.
Pollution, pollution. Hey,
pollution invasion sounds the best thing.
Wendy, why don't you come over here and sit?
Why?
Let me
hear. Hold. You have a hold in
me. You sit here. Well, are we sort of agreed on the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First one sounds good. What do you say, Henry?
Mm.
What do you want?
Well, let's see now. Well, they all...
American
I don't
on
know.
Soil.
Yeah, I don't know which one to pick out.
Yeah, they're very
they're
much
all
alike.
Good. Yeah.
What's the most outstanding memory you have from World War II?
Well, when I run the outpost tender here and then on day deck.
Did you ever have any close experiences with the outpost tender or?
Well, the closest I had was when I met the Japs going home, coming out of here, about by Wisloe. There was seven of them in that bunch, and they came around Hyder Point in the V formation. They were all through in here, and I was coming in. And they got in the line of diving on the boat. I thought, well, this is it. Then they changed their mind, went around the boat, and I thought, well, they're doing it from the stern. But they kept on going. Then they went straight out toward the Pribilofs, where the carrier was. And the next day when I went to outposts over in Beaver Inlet, the one by English Bay,
mm-hmm.
right out on the point, there was a Jap shot down one of our seaplanes there and then shot the crew that got in a rubber boat, was going to land there right close to the beach. And they came down, killed all the crew on this outpost. They saw all this. They were right on top of the cliff there.
Was that at Fisherman's Point or Brundage Point?
The Fisherman's Point.
Fisherman's Point.
Just before you go in Beaver Inlet.
Mm-hmm. Was that, so that outpost was established before the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
Were the other outposts in Beaver Inlet?
Oh, yeah.
There mm-hmm. before the bombing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Gee, the bombing was on in June, let's see. Well, I was running the outpost tender then, and they sent me to McCutcheon to get those fish boats that she left here the 5 o'clock in the morning, and the bombers came in 6 o'clock. And 10 o'clock I arrived in McCutcheon. McCutcheon Bay was full of destroyers, our destroyers, waiting for to locate the Jap fleet, which they didn't, but they were there ready to go. And I stopped there and they said, "Japs bombed at Jarbor." I said, "No, I just left there. There's no Japs there." But they came here about an hour after I left here. Mm. I didn't see any of them, but they came over the top here and up through Umnak Pass.
With some of these old World War I battleships? How were these battleships, were they in good condition?
Oh, yeah.
They were World War II ones, or some of them were from World War I, right?
And some of them were pretty old. They were just building at the end of World War I. Yeah, most of them were pretty old. The battleships that, when I was in the Navy before World War I and during World War I, were pretty old. They all burned coal. And right tail end of World War I, some of these new ones were being built. And they were up here, out A-deck. I think there was 5 of them there. And they sent them back down to South Pacific.
What was the biggest storm you were in out on the water? Not counting the one when you were on that island, but when you were in a ship of some kind.
Oh, and let's see. I guess the worst one I was in was the outpost tender. Yeah, ran over to Seattle and on my way up, a horrible storm right outside the Seward in Prince William Sound. That was a bad one.
Does anyone have any questions or things you want to ask?
What's the hardest you ever saw the wind blow around
here? The hardest? Let's see now. I think the hardest wind I saw here when they blew the roof off your house, the Canuff's house, the kitchen part.
How high did it blow about?
Hmm?
Miles an hour.
Hmm?
How many miles an hour?
Oh, that was over 100, I think.
Was that the one that blew the tank off the dock out at
Pacific Pearl by Captain's Bay? I think it was.
Oh, that was a bad one, too. Blew the whole end of that big warehouse in.
Yeah, yeah. The Kodiak paper said the winds were at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah. That's the time it blew the roof off Lukanov's house, too. The,
yeah.
The, and blew the whole end of that big, strong warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Was that the one that blew the roof off of Shizikov's old house?
No, that,
that
was another
one.
One. Yeah.
Okay.
Then, let's see, that wind too took, well, they had a garage there, this side of the two warehouses between the...
At Pacific Pearl, yeah, out
up there. Yeah, this was a garage, and it took that whole building, moved it all in one chunk.
Mm-hmm.
And a big building, too. It was, well, one of their garages.
Let me ask you this. If any of these kids wanted, say, to become fishermen, what would you suggest, or what should they learn in order to, you know, be good at it, or what kinds of things are important to know?
Well, you've got to know everything. How to run a boat and how to fish, and
you learn that by experience, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Of course, now they got all kind of instruments. When I was boating, we didn't have any of those things, like radar and all them instruments they have. Well, like in World War I, see, when he was convoying vessels
across the Atlantic.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
We didn't have any instruments.
Hmm.
We had to watch with our eyes. No radar, no nothing. Well, the radar, I guess, was invented during the World War II. Radar that was pretty new. Because I remember one time a Coast Guard after World War II, the radar busted and they couldn't come into Alaska, you know, because the navigator on there, a young fella that, he was used to using a radar. So when he had no radar, he couldn't see in the fog. Well, he stopped and waited till the fog went away. Before that, they would find their way through fog somehow or other, and which I did. We just watched good, and you almost hit the rock, you saw it, and that was it.
Mm.
You stopped then, and
did you take sightings? Like of stars or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
In order
mm-hmm.
To locate
yeah.
your position.
Yeah. Now you can do that with a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That you just turn knobs on and...
Loran,
yeah,
oh.
Loran. That's new, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can get your position within feet with the old style. You done good if you got within a mile. Yeah, that was really good if you got your position within a mile.
Now, dead reckoning is when you just what?
Well, you just use the chart.
You just use the chart,
yeah.
And you sort of aim yourself in that direction.
Yeah,
and
you take a course, and there's quite a bit of guesswork in that.
Mm-hmm. What's the toughest pass around here?
Well, gee, they're all tough when they're rough. But that Siguam Pass, that's out between Siguam and Amelie, that used to be the noted for being one of the roughest. We used to call that 72 Pass.
Why 72?
So that 72 goes right through there.
Oh, the, okay.
Yeah.
The,
longitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if the date line,
mm-hmm.
You know, that zigzags, you know, that's on 180, isn't it? Date line.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the zigzag.
Because it's supposed to be exactly halfway around the world,
yeah.
So it'd be 180.
So
yeah.
It'd be tomorrow. Right across the date line.
Yeah.
See, that too is actually, let's see, if they went by the date line, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah, last night on the news they talked about the Pope spent two Thursdays.
Yeah.
One in Japan and then one in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, that's why Japan is the country rising sun,
mm-hmm.
You know, because right now Japan is tomorrow in Japan.
Yeah.
See, what part of tomorrow? Let's see, that's 24 hours.
Yeah. No, it confuses me.
Yeah. Yeah, when you go to Asia, you gain one day, then coming back you lose a day.
Yeah. That's right, or the other way around?
I don't know.
No, you gain a day, because you go across at 180 and you're in tomorrow.
Okay, all right. We had a letter today from a guy named Michael J. Majeldi, who's writing a book on one of the last of the sailing ships, The Glory of the Seas. And he sent along a couple of Xeroxes and photos of an Alaska. This is a neat one you'd be interested in, the showing the dock, looking across towards Dutch Harbor.
Standard Oil Dock?
No, not the Standard Oil Dock.
No,
the
Alaska Dock.
An Alaska Dock. Henry was saying that the whole
area... That's the old dock, not the one that's there now, the old dock.
That
the, where that dock is now, that's all filled now. You know, all this side of the dock, that all used to be water, and that's where this dock was.
And that other one that John has a circled, the one you've got now, has a circled, looks like a fort on it. And the guy wanted to know what it was. And it's, nobody knows for sure what the building was. It looks, especially here, like with yeah. this, it looks like a fort.
Yeah, that
but,
that might have been a remnant of some old Russian building. When I was a kid, that building had a high fence around it, and they used it for a chicken house.
Chickens and pigeons, he said.
Pigeons, yeah, they had pigeons up in the steeple. Yeah, they raised pigeons and ate them.
Now?
Yeah.
Hmm?
The what? He said it was torn down before.
No, it didn't seem to be.
Church wasn't even there.
Hmm?
After 1920.
Taking the same time that one was on his boat and everything.
No, different boats. That's the fetus. And the one that Mike has, it's the Glory of the Seas. The fetus was a revenue cutter.
Yeah, the fetus was sister ship to the old Bear.
You see this one?
Yeah. The whole area of where the dock is shown on that one is now all filled in, I guess, and the dock is built out around where that dock is.
How much trucks are here?
Down in Penalaska.
When I first came up here, I came up here first in 1895. There was no trucks.
Yeah. When did they start coming in?
That's after the war.
After the war?
Yeah.
How old is this picture?
No, before the war, there was one truck here.
That
the AC company had a truck.
No, not 1910. I don't know. There's no date on that one.
Did more and more start coming after World War II?
The chicken house.
The which?
Pigeon house.
After World War II?
Chicken,
yeah.
He just left the truck.
No. No, they took them out. Except, let's see, there was, over in Margaret Bay, there was, maybe 100 cars.
100?
Yeah. Some of them almost brand new put near. They were sold as junk to the junk company. They wouldn't sell anybody here any. You had to be a dealer, a junk dealer, and buy a whole bunch. And they sold them for 2 cents a pound. Junk price.
You're kidding.
2 cents a pound.
Ah. Is it true that the Army took and buried a lot of equipment and machinery and things?
No, I don't think so. It all went in the... Though I know where there was a tractor buried, but then that was accident. They had an outpost there at Collector Bay, way out on the side going toward English Bay.
Okay.
Right out on that point. See, what's the name of that point, anyhow?
Erskine
Point?
Yeah.
Yeah, other side of Collector Bay.
Right around the tip of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Priest Rock is on this side. Mm-hmm. And they had an outpost there, and they had a tractor there. And they left it there. They it buried in the gravel on the beach there,
yeah.
The little gravel beach there, and they probably were taking it back aboard, and they got down the gravel there, and instead of it going ahead, it just dug itself down, and stayed. They left it there.
On the beach.
Yeah.
Gravel.
It's still there.
Is it? I can see it.
I don't know if you can now, just the top of it was sticking out the gravel. And I was, the reason I know it was there was, I was going with Vern Robinson, and He had a Caterpillar engine. That's the boat over there, that not the Esther, but the other one, the old one.
Christian?
Hmm? No, no.
The one that tipped over?
The one, no, the one that's all wrecked there. I guess it's still there.
Oh, put on a sign.
Over on the Agnes Beach?
Yeah.
Is it the grave robbery?
The Verla.
Oh, Verla, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a boat like the one up the, by Shiznikov's down here.
Yeah.
And of course it was fixed up, and let's see, what was that? Oh yeah, I was making a trip with him, and his engine went haywire, and we anchored in Collector Bay, went out there with a skiff and took the one of his cylinder heads in the Verlo was there's a chamber there where the fuel oil goes into the cylinder, and that busted and the water was running into the cylinder. So anyhow, we stopped there, we went there, and this tractor had the same engine in that he had in his boat.
Hmm.
So we took the cylinder heads off of this and took them to the back to the boat. You know, that tractor was in nice condition then.
Hmm.
The cylinders were full of oil, and of course they ain't now because we took the head off of it. Yeah, it was a brand new tractor. I don't know why they took it ashore there, but I guess they hauled stuff up on the hill there.
John, could you hand me that map that's right down in between there? Like the map? Just a minute. Wagner, I wanted Henry to show you where he said that outcropping of soapstone was. Over
oh,
here
yeah.
in Beaver Inlet?
Canary Bay?
Mm-hmm. No,
no, it's not Canary Bay.
There's Erskine Point.
This one
is that where that tractor is?
Yeah, right out on the point, right on this side. Right close to the end of the point.
Uh-huh.
And it's buried in the... It just dug itself down the gravel there. That's the only gravel there, a little tiny gravel beach. That's where they landed, you know.
Uh-huh.
When they, you know, the outpost was on top there, and they're a little, just a little ways up there, a little plateau like.
Is that where those people got killed or what?
Hmm?
Where was that?
So the people got killed over here off of.
So here. Let's see. Yeah, English Bay. This outpost is right there. It was right there.
Japanese kind of problem.
Well, this PBY was. They had a lot of them in here, and they tried to escape, you know. They couldn't fight, they were just a reconnaissance plane, awful slow, and seaplane. Well, one of them was here, and he got shot down right here. And the crew got in their rubber boat and was going to go ashore in here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jap plane swooped down, killed them all.
You didn't see this, you heard about this. Did you
well,
see?
That was one of my outposts.
Oh.
I was there the next day or two after that. And the guys up there at that outpost, they told me about it.
Hmm.
And then you did the outposts all along in here? Like
yeah.
This, huh?
Well, there was this one, and here's where you camp.
Yeah.
That was the outpost, and let's see, it was, and we had
that big one is right in
right
here.
Right here.
Yeah, with the railroad
then,
track and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and there was one on the point there.
Yeah.
I think they had searchlights there.
Where's that?
There's a neat cement bunker right on that point.
Yeah.
It's really a neat place.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go down inside of it. And
inside, yeah.
Right on the cliff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Overlooking the bay.
That outpost was built, well, I took the...
Yugadaga Bay.
I took the...
North of Yugadaga
troops
Bay?
There to... Before there was outpost.
Well, I mean, along the...
Landed in snow that deep. I don't know how they made out. It started to blow, and I went with... Yeah, there was a red outpost
in here. You're walking on the beach. It's a big
cliff,
and I don't think you can get by there. I think if it's climbing up...
This was a mortar and machine gun outfit.
They're not in very good shape, but this one's cement, so it's not bad.
And there was one over here in the pass, right there, because they had their gear up on top of the mountain there, but they had their camp down there. Oh, this
soapstone
or whatever it is, a soft rock.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, here. Right on top of the ridge here.
Final bay?
Between the two bays. Andrew McCarran took us up there. That was with Bill Brown, myself, and we went in this bay. And then we had to come out a little ways, and we climbed up about here, up on top there, and that's where it was. It seeps out. It's right on the ridge. I guess come up through a crack there, and it's gray color, and it's hard on the surface. Knock the hard stuff off, and then you get
how long ago was this when you were there?
Oh, this was after the war. Not too long after.
What are you talking about?
Soapstone. Right on top of the ridge.
There's what? What's there?
Soapstone.
The soapstone. Or that soft stone. I guess it's soapstone.
Now you found copper down in this area, right?
Oh yeah, let's see. Yeah, these guys had Pumicestone Bay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, all through the valley here, they had claims. There's a lot of copper there. I don't know how rich it is. All the way to Killaloe Bay. Then, that's where I took the Kennicott engineer, mining engineer.
Can you walk from here all the way down here?
Well, let's see now.
Might be trouble right there.
Well, here is, let's see now, I'm looking at this upside down. Well, all this through here, that's very rugged.
Mountains?
Yeah, and really rugged.
Let's see the,
oh yeah, sawtooth like.
Where did Handsome Harry die?
Handsome Harry?
Was it going in through here?
Oh yeah, it's Handsome Harry. He was, the reason we call it, he had a little boat here. And all his spare time, he kept looking in a mirror. Anytime he went down to his boat, and if he wasn't sleeping or eating, he was looking in the mirror. Hmm? So we called him Handsome Harry. Well, he died. Let's see, he trapped with his boat, Pacific side here, down here.
Fox trapping?
Yeah. And his boat got wrecked there in Killaloe Bay or somewhere in there, and he walked over to Kashiga.
Okay.
Yeah. Then from Kashiga, that was before the war. That's when Miss Carter was teaching school there.
Oh, okay, in the early 30s.
Yeah. And, then he came to McCushion, to the village. Then they took him up there and let's see, yeah, Portage Bay, yeah, here, right here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
and landed him there. And he died there, but by that peak, the awful storm came up, and instead of him going back down, you know, where they had the camp down there, he crawled under in a little cave up there and died there. Then about a week later, the Mikushin people walked over and they found him. And they reported him, and there was a boat there. I went with him that time. We went around with his boat and took a sled and went up in that area and hauled him back down this way.
Anybody know, do Emperor Geese go up into this lake here, the head of Captain's Bay?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Well, how many miles is it from the head of the bay down?
From here?
Yeah.
To walk across? I don't know. I never did walk across. I've walked up to the middle from this side and up to the middle from that side up to that mountain.
Is there like a valley and something you could, it's just that you can walk?
Is there, you it's good. You go up Captain's Bay Valley till you get this lake. And then from this lake there's a valley goes on this side of that mountain. You know, that, you see that lone peak up there?
Yeah.
On this side goes right down to into here. Nice valley. You don't have to climb any high mountains. Go across there.
I've always wanted to hike over to the Pacific side somehow, going through here, but I've never done
it.
Oh, this is awful rough here.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, those guys that walked got lost here. That was Leontin Merkulov's grandfather. And two other young fellas. And let's see, they trapped... Protection Bay, they trapped here. And I went there to pick them up with my boat, and they were gone. They were gone, and well, they decided to hike in. Well, they hiked into here, and then they had an argument right here. They could see the bay here and the bay here, one on each side. Which one is on Alaska? Well, here it was way over here. They didn't even see it. They were right there. But so the two of them went down in here, and Merkulov went here. And they had a long way to go yet to get here. And Andrew McCarran rescued, he was hunting foxes, and he found old man Merkulov here, rescued him. The boys, the other two, they were just about all in. They come down here, then they walked on that side, this bay here. And they climbed up over the top here, and here was the cannery bay. The cannery there that was still there at that time. And the watchman there, so that's where they wound up.
What is this? What's Port Levischev or whatever?
Oh, I guess that's a Russian name. That's up Captain's Bay.
Yeah, he was the captain that stayed there. That's the bay.
Oh, is that the one that stayed up there?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were over here in Mikushin?
Well, about, geez, quite a while. Well, I was in there lots of times, but before the war, and during the war, let's see, after the war, let's see now. it's a long time since I've been there.
Did you ever come across any outside men anywhere?
No, I didn't.
Those monsters?
You think there are any?
No. Well, there is out toward Kiska. Guy from Atka, and a boy, they killed themselves and left a note that they were outside men. Huh. They nailed up the door, had a little church service in there, and the guy shot the boy and shot himself.
How old was the boy?
He was a teenager, I think.
Why is it like this? What does that mean? It's
oh, that's that's where the glacier is. Okay, here's another. This is the Makushi
glacier.
So it'd
glacier. Be hard to walk down this way, huh?
Yeah. Well, the only guy I ever knew that walked there was, let's see. Anderson Bay. Yeah, he went up in here. Tough walking, and he walked through here. There's a kind of a valley through here, and he walked to this side, and then he walked, I don't know, zigzag through here. And now from here, that way is all good walking. I mean, no rugged mountains.
Are there any big rivers or something in the way?
Well, pretty big. Not too big.
They'd be marked on here, though, if there was.
Yeah. No, there's really no big rivers, but let's see, the only, most of them person can cross. This one, this is quite a big one here, but it's more of a lagoon than a river.
Yeah. People, and, on Monday and Tuesday, I won't be here. I want you to just bring some work and have a study hall, seventh period. Okay?
Well, who are we going to turn our work with?
We can turn it into whoever the...
yeah, this country people. Down here is all, you know, not rugged. Mm-hmm. No high mountains, and what mountains there are around. You know, they're...
Okay. How long does it take to walk from Captain's Bay to McCushion? About how many hours?
Well, it's, I think, let's see, where's Captain's Bay now? Oh, here we are. That's across here. I guess, person could do it in 3 hours.
Hmm. Where is there buildings at? Are there any buildings around?
Well, here's where the village was.
Is there anything left there? No?
I guess it's pretty well gone now.
There's a cabin over here somewhere, though, isn't there? Somebody
well,
fixed it up, like right now it's still there.
From here?
Yeah, there's somebody staying in it now.
Chuck Martinson had one just opposite Peter Island over here, one here, but I've heard that it's been pretty much damaged.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's down here at the Portage. Portage
yeah,
Bay.
Well, did you hear about that guy who got shot down in McCushion a while
Dave
back?
Dave Marmar.
Well, he was staying in a cabin there. He said it was a pretty good cabin.
Well, maybe he was at the village.
Yeah.
There'd still be some kind of
shoot himself.
Houses there.
Richard Anderson and Chris stayed down at McCushion in December.
We're at the village?
Yeah, and they said they're...
Is that at the horse cabin or ranch?
I don't know, yeah, they said that
that's the only
building that had
text?
A stove in didn't have a roof, and the one that had a roof didn't have a stove.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I guess the cabins that, when they used to trap. Well, there was a lot of cabins around in the old trapping days. Like,
take your chairs back, if you, especially these soft ones. I don't know where they come from.
Back,
see, now here is the...
Push me around, push you. I can't do that.
You, sir? It's okay.
The problem with most of the buildings is that they probably get...
Yeah.
Doesn't take long before they're caved in or something.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Where do you want me to go?
Just anywhere. Oh, hey, you should have your English book with you because you have an assignment for me due on Monday. Go get it, okay? Why don't I...